in charge?
You in charge.
Ed's in charge. Everyone's in charge.
Oh, you go, come on, Ed. Throw him under the bus, for God's sake.
Okay, alright. Hi, everybody, welcome back to Stream of Consciousness. I am,
Joe Magneto Stout.
Magneto? Mm-hmm. Alright, fine. I'm Joey Magneto Stout. This is Joel Sweet Sauce Cox, and we have Andy Metal Fist Moyer joining us yet again. Thank you, Andy, for being back.
Thanks
once
for
more. We're postponing dinner time for you, so that's very generous of you to be here. I wish before we'd have done this, I would have moved this microphone because this is driving me insane. Hey, Joel, say some things while I make an adjustment.
Anyway, I'd like to talk about some comic book stuff since we've got Andy here today.
Yes, 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 yes.
No, don't put it there. If you put it there, there's going to be a lot more noise. That's why it's not on the table.
All right, go ahead. What do you want to talk about comic book wise?
So, about May 4th, actually, which is kind of funny.
Oh, yeah.
I subscribe to Marvel.
May the 4th be with you.
I subscribe to Marvel Unlimited.
Marvel Unlimited. I have been wanting to do that so badly. Is it worth it?
Oh, yes. At $4 a comic book, all you have to do is read about 15 comic books, and you make money back. If you pay $69 for the year, pay annually, it's $69.
So it's 70 bucks.
Yeah.
70 bucks for the entire year. Yeah. How many comic books do you get?
It's like 200,000 you can read.
You don't have like you can only get like XYZ per month?
You can read as many as you want in a month. They just don't have anything within 6 months. So if it's 6 months or younger, well, 5 months or younger.
Okay, so if you're like uber nerd and you're up to date on all of the comic books, this may not be the best thing for you.
But if you're going, hey, I want to read every single Iron Man since the dawn of time, it's going to take you a while. And by the time you catch up...
They really have it like back like considerably far?
Yes.
Because that's super worth it.
I went over and I started when I was in New York.
Are you familiar with this? I know you're a comic book kind of guy. I think you're more DC. We've had this discussion before. Mm-hmm. And I forget.
Well, I've gone back and forth over the years.
But I
went back and started reading Doctor Strange. And I started with the 2015 version and reading from that forward. About 18 comics in, and wow, it's totally different from the movie. But my coworker pointed out that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is like a parallel universe of the Marvel Universe. So all the characters are there. They're not exactly as they are in the comic books, because you can't get away with that, because some of these storylines are kind of crazy.
There's a lot of, you see a lot of the comic books can be a little bit gnarly, a little bit dark, a little bit seedy even. You see it in quite a few comic book characters. Iron Man is one of the big ones. The movie version of Iron Man versus the comic book version of Iron Man are two very different characters. Maybe not very different, but there's definitely some differences.
Well, Ant-Man in the comic books.
Ant-Man was the one I was going to say next.
Beats wife.
Yeah. He's a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ant-Man is not only is he just like, that's a terrible character because of what a shitty character, because he controls ants and he gets big, he gets small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that alone is just not that great. But then, like, the actual Henry Pym is, I believe, the character's name, and he is just like, he's a filthy dirt monger of a man. Like, he's just this degenerative, just asshole. He's the guy you want to hate so bad. And really, the only thing that he's credited for that gives him any kind of steam was being pretty much he's sort of the creator of the Avengers. Like, without him, the Avengers, I don't believe, would have been the Avengers kind of thing. Like, that's where a lot of his publicity came in. Otherwise, he would have gone sidetracked. He would have been one of those characters that you just never heard of, you don't know of. He would have been, at most, he would have been a footnote. He would have been like Squirrel Girl, where it's like, oh, we all heard of her. If you're any kind of comic book nerd, you heard of Squirrel Girl. But, like, nobody knows what she does or what she is or who she is. She's just like, she's just, ha ha, how funny, Squirrel Girl. That's it.
Speaking of Squirrel Girl, Steve Ditko, who we had mentioned earlier, I think he created Squirrel Girl.
Ditko created Squirrel Girl?
I believe so.
How cool is that?
I just read that.
Okay, so Squirrel Girl, for the audience, if you don't know, if you're not as nerdy as we are, Steve Ditko was the creator/co-creator of Spider-Man, which everybody knows Spider-Man, but you may not know who Ditko is. Really, Stan Lee has taken so much credit for...
You don't know dick about Ditko, do you?
My coughing into the microphone. That's disrespectful and rude to the audience. I won't do it.
Audience does not talk to us.
You're off camera again, by the way.
I'm a ghost. I think it was just somewhere last week. 91.
So, actually, what happened was they found him, I believe.
It was a couple days after he died.
Yeah, like on a Friday. They like found out he died on a Wednesday.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
He lived alone.
That's really.
Yeah,
Ditko was.
Apparently, from what they said, he's one of those guys that you could strike a conversation with him. And the second you start talking about, like, Spider-Man or anything he created, he's like, oh, gotta go, see ya.
I'm sure he's bombarded with that.
But apparently there's a lot of celebrities and stuff like that where, like, they'll talk about anything except what they're known for.
Right. Well, I think to a certain degree that if you become a certain level of celebrity, you know what I mean? Like, that's the whole, it's the Vanilla Ice complex where you don't want to be that, like, that's something you did, it's not who you are, kind of. Ditko is not Spider-Man. He is an artist. He is a guy who's probably created who knows how many characters, countless, I'm sure, and he's just been credited with Spider-Man. Spider-Man is not a new character either. He's been around since...
60s.
Is it been the 60s? That's about what I would guess.
I'm asking because I don't know.
Yeah, 60s probably, 60s.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot we had the... you're a bit more of an expert on this than a lot of subscribers.
Yeah, okay. Ditko, there was... he was Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, a handful of other characters. Co-creator with Stan Lee. Well,
Stan Lee's a writer. He didn't create so much his character.
He wouldn't have created the visual work.
Right.
And even with Spider-Man, there's controversy because Jack Kirby, pretty much, almost single-handedly created a few different huge universes for DC and Marvel. And I think a lot of Kirby stuff, Stan Lee just tacked his name onto it, and there was a lot of controversy. I've read a few books about the early Marvel one about Jack Kirby, and he really had to work to try to make money at what he did for as much as he did for comics. He wasn't a rich guy.
That's kind of phenomenal how some of these guys weren't able to capitalize on things that they created. I mean, you hear stories about it all the time from different movies and stuff, like these people that create these things that are just become monstrous. Like, I think I want to say the guys that created the Ninja Turtle comic book.
Sure.
I
can almost tell you his name.
Yeah, it's on the
tip. Larson and somebody
yes,
else.
Fields, not Fields. All right, regardless. I believe they sold the rights to the Ninja Turtles to one of the other Dark Horse, or it wasn't Dark Horse, I can't remember which company that started doing Ninja Turtles. And they lost an ass ton of money over that. Like, they really, they just kind of gave it all up. I think they held on to some rights and such, but they didn't make as much money as they should have. And you hear stories about it all the time. That's probably not the best example. I think that was...
There was, creator rights have always been an issue. There was, Siegel and Schuster, the guys that created Superman. They invented him. They created him in, I want to say, 28, and sold him for like $12.
They sold him. They created him. I think right around when Hitler was like starting to become a thing, because they were saying that he felt like he was a Nazi propaganda. Mm-hmm. That's what actually came out of Wonder Woman, because people were like, "The Superman, screw this. He's all like Aryan race, blah 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 blah." When he wasn't, but that's the feeling.
Right. Right.
Well, they had sold the rights for Superman for like $12 or something insane like that. And then right after that, Superman became, he was in movies and started comic books and just all over the place. These dudes at one point were basically living in poverty. They were just two young dudes from like
June 1938.
Cleveland, Ohio.
38?
No, June 1938 was
38, I said 28.
So I thought it was 20-something also. And
so there was an artist named Neil Adams. Neil Adams, you might associate with 70s X-Men or Batman, but he found out about how poor these guys were. You know, they had just released like Superman the movie. These dudes were like starving to death. So he was beneficial in getting these guys the rights, the money that they deserve, and a lot of stuff with Superman now is still tied up with the Schuster, either Siegel or Schuster, I forget which one. You know, their family over different stuff with Superman. So I think that's why they have to change up their property every once in a while to say, no, this is our Superman, not your Superman. Your Superman is something different. But anyway,
Green Arrow too.
Huh?
Huh?
He did Green Arrow, too.
Yeah, Green Arrow and Green Lantern, Green Arrow.
He seems to have a thing for green, doesn't he?
Yeah, I feel like I was thinking this through, and I can't remember where my mindset was, but the color coding in DC is a bit more than you see in Marvel. I can't remember where I came up with that thought. I might be mistaken.
Well, it had to do with production. Like, if you see... trying to remember how it works. Purple's like, somebody like the Hulk, he's green, and then he has purple bands because it's color columns, because it has something to do with the printing process.
But, yeah, originally, the Hulk was not green. He was gray.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. They couldn't get the consistency on the gray to print every page, every comic book. So they changed it to green instead, because it just...
Look at the brain on him.
That's every now and then, you know, something.
And then when Image came along, guys like Jim Lee or Todd McFarlane, Rob Liefeld, they became like rock stars because they created stuff and they retained the creator rights.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So
Liefeld was big now, known for Deadpool and who was the other one you just said?
Jim Lee's. His,
which Jim Lee? What's,
he drew. What did he draw? He has iconic runs on like Superman and Batman, and his stuff is really.
The other one is Spawn. Who's
X Men? He was big. I think a lot of these guys started out with Marvel.
Who's the other guy you said? He was the creator of Spawn.
Todd McFarlane.
Todd McFarlane. That's what I was. Okay, that's what I was trying to remember.
And so they their company was based on retaining. If I'm not completely mistaken, was based on retaining the creator rights. They wanted the money from what they created.
As well they should. I mean, that's one of those things that you put all this time and effort, you create a character that becomes popular. You don't want to sign that away. I think that comic books have been generous enough to continue to credit the creators. Whether you can put that on the comic books or whether you put it on the creators, either way, it's something that they've been able to retain. And when you watch a movie, you never... You know the actors that are in it, and occasionally you know the director that put it through if they're big enough. But very seldom, I mean, how many writers of movies can you name? Very, very few. The Nolan brothers are kind of the only ones that even pop into mind for me. But you don't get that. And literally, the writers are the ones who have created this. What was the Martian? We were talking about The Martian. It was from the book. I couldn't tell you.
Andy Weir, I believe.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, and that, but I couldn't remember that the same. If you hadn't told me, I would have never. And even now,
touch your dog, Nelson.
The hell with you, sir.
Yeah, like Steve Ditko. I don't think he got a lot of money from his creation Spider-Man. I mean, even co-created Spider-Man again. You know, some sort of. I mean, man, I like to have some kind of money coming from creating something as big as Spider-Man.
Right, and absolutely. And without question, you can write a character. Stan Lee has written some amazing characters, and there's no question that he is a talented author. But by no means, especially, I mean, really in any universe, you can write an amazing character, and then by the time it hits the screen, it could be what's a Dark Tower, which was supposedly this amazing book, and then they made this movie with Matthew McConaughey and how do you say his name? Idris Elba, who are both fantastic actors.
But
the movie sucked.
But they did it totally wrong.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Is to no fault of the creator, because Stephen King is definitely an amazing creator of character, but. Once it hit the screen, it wasn't done right. It was poorly produced. So you got to have that same mentality in the comic book world where Stan Lee did not create Spider-Man. By himself, Stan Lee is not credible for Spider-Man. The Ditko, giving him the look and the feel that he has and had, that really is where the creative genius comes in. In my opinion, in a comic book setting, especially, you see it more than anything because it's not like reading a book. If you read a Spider-Man, if you read any comic book, really, you go back to a lot of the comic books. A while ago, and I think I might have mentioned this last time you were on the show, I reread the Gambit comic books, and I've always been a monster fan of Gambit. Probably one of my favorite characters, if not my favorite character of all time. I love Gambit. I read the story. The story itself is not fantastic. It's the artwork and the visual telling of the story that makes it so amazing. And Ditko, he created the visual look of Spider-Man. He didn't create the story of it, but the story not necessarily was amazing. It was a good idea that Ditko then brought to life.
A lot of the story, a lot of those guys did create, there was something called the Marvel Method where someone like Stan Lee would give a general overview, sort of just outline of a plot. The artist, you know, guys, and you know, whenever you read about guys like Ditko and Jack Kirby, you know, I'll tell you, it's like, a lot of those stories weren't Stan Lee because he would just give you this thing. They would go in and create the everything that happened, and then Stan Lee would go back and throw in the dialogue. So that was the Marvel Method. So that's another reason why a lot of those guys felt like they got jerked over, because it's like, you know, he might have co-created it, but a lot of those stories weren't involved.
Oh, absolutely. It's you got, and nothing against Stan Lee. That's I am a diehard. I love Stan Lee, so I'm not bad mouthing. I'm not bashing him by a long shot. But Stan Lee by himself has influenced the creation of many characters, but he is not the creator of all of these characters. Really, it's always you know, Spider-Man by Stanley and
Steve
Ditko. It's almost like Steve Ditko is second fiddle on this one, but he's not. He really is the creator of this. And I imagine that's got to be along the same lines of, like, when you think if you buy this month's edition of Playboy magazine, you're not buying it because Hugh Hefner. You're buying it because of the naked chick that's in between the covers.
I'm buying for the articles, Joe.
Bullshit. Nobody buys. First of all, nobody's buying a Playboy magazine since.
Nowadays they are, because they got rid of the new pictures.
What?
Didn't they get rid of the new pictures a couple years ago? Not just articles?
We're taking too crazy of a turn here. Right? I went off track. Nobody's buying an adult dirty magazine if the girls aren't in it. They are. They're the reason why you buy or look at.
Oh, they brought it back.
Nobody cares about
it. So they got rid of them around October of 2015 and brought them back February 13th, 2017.
Okay. All right. Well, it is what it is. That was an analogy more than it was an actual point that I was making. But when you think of Playboy magazine, you think of Hugh Hefner. You don't think of all of the models that have been in there. And you probably couldn't name any portion of them. I'm sure we have at least a viewer or two that could ramble off several names of them. And
if I have in favor.
Right, yeah, there's always those who are obsessed. But what I'm saying is the talent itself is not always credited to the actual talent. And in comic books, you do see that. But there's a balance in every media. For example, like when you look at the back to Playboy, you look at Playboy, all the credit goes to Hugh Hefner, very little credit goes to any of the models, except for like whenever Pam Anderson was
January 2011.
Right. But then you go to comic books and it's a little more balanced. But again, you're seeing everybody associate Stan Lee with pretty much everything comic books.
Lindsay Lohan, or not. January 2012.
And from there, like it works its way down in different.
Kate Moss is a double issue.
One of the things I do notice with all the movies out nowadays is they do because of people advocating for creator rights. When you see the credits, one of the first things you'll see, and one of the biggest things I heard, like say about the Thor Ragnarok, was they really went for a Jack Kirby look for a lot of the costumes and stuff like that. They're really into.
Crediting
the creators nowadays. So.
Well, and I believe probably a lot of that has to do with legal issues, because if you don't say characters by Jack Kirby and et cetera, whatever, then you're opening yourself up to a lawsuit. So just that little bit, and I'm sure it's a money thing. If they can get away with not crediting those guys, if it was more money or if it didn't cost them anything, then but the risk of them being sued over over creative rights is more so where that comes from. I don't think that's them being generous and saying, oh, this is a creation by blah, 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 blah. It's more, they're only telling you that Deadpool was created by Rob Liefeld because, if not, Rob Liefeld would say, that's my character, you're making money off of it, I'm going to sue you, and he's probably going to get a bigger chunk of change.
And once upon a time, before they started advocating, it might have been like, hey, that's my character, and they're like, we don't care. It's our character.
I'm sure. Absolutely. I bet, and maybe not, but I'm willing to bet if you go back to, like, the original,
Batman. You guys ever watched the, what was that, Fantastic Four? What was that?
Fantastic Mr. Fox?
No, Fantastic Four, that one in the, what was it, the early 80s or something like that? Remember I had mentioned?
Oh.
Is that the one?
I meant to watch it, but I forgot to go look for it.
I didn't see that.
I just happened to jump into my brain.
You should have.
Is that the one that, like, I think they were joking about this on
Facebook.
No. What's the TV show on Netflix with Rod Howard? Jason Bateman. This TV show that he had that was on TV, but now it's not. Now it's on Netflix.
Arrested Development. Was the director Roger Corman?
Okay.
You're way off.
Well, no, I'm saying Arrested Development was joking about Fantastic Four in one of their newer seasons, one of their Netflix seasons, where it was like, but I don't know how much truth is in on that one, but supposedly there's a lot of movies that are made that are just like, just only made just to retain rights, like Ron Howard had the rights to Fantastic Four, not necessarily Ron Howard, but his company, Imagine, whatever his company is, where like. And I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe it's just me reiterating what my educational background of Arrested Development,
which might be.
Well, it's because I watched Arrested Development. So it may or may not even be true. But it is true that there are companies that will get the rights. Like, for example, Ron Howard's company got the rights to Fantastic Four and made a movie just to retain the rights so that other companies couldn't step in and steal it from them, kind of thing. And it was
I can't remember the movie. The whole thing with like Fox and Marvel, where Marvel wasn't allowed to use the word mutant in their movies because of copyright, so they had to call them
superhumans.
No, that was DC did. Was calling them metahumans or superhumans or something like that. What was Marvel?
When they first introduced Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch,
because they're the son and daughter of Magneto.
Yeah, and they were talking about them, and they instead of saying these are our. They were like, they had some weird, some way to skirt the name.
I remember of it, I don't remember the exact term that they used for.
But anyway, they had to go around to using the word mutant, even though that's exactly what the characters they're talking about.
Right, well, then the whole thing with the mutants, because originally that whole thing came along because of one of the toy companies, I can't remember which one it was, Hasbro or whoever that was making the toys, there was when you make these toys and then you ship them, there's a tax on any characters that are human-like, I guess, for toys that were human-esque. So way back in the day, it wasn't, I don't think it was quite that long ago. I think it was maybe like in the 60s or 70s, maybe in the 80s. They were
enhanced.
Enhanced.
Okay, that instead of mutant, they were enhanced. But there was a tax on the toys. If you made a toy lion, you were not taxed. But if you made a toy G.I. Joe, which I think was one of the big issues of where a lot of this came from, it was like that G.I. Joe phase. They were taxing the G.I. Joe figures for whatever crazy loophole law that they created, or I'm sure it was just about making money. So I want to say it was Marvel. It was Marvel went to court and said, our characters are not human. You cannot tax them. They are mutant. And they won that. They won the argument. Wow, they won the battle.
Amazing.
So that's when they started calling their characters mutants, because they were mutated humans, and they weren't humans anymore. They were mutants. And so that's why they marketed them as mutants, and that's why it became such a big term. More so in the comic books, you hear it all the time. Particularly X-Men was one of the ones where they coined that phrase just repeatedly. But that's why. It was all about just a little bit of money.
Hmm.
I only could use this power to get you past English.
Do that, stop.
I could have passed English. It was laziness. The thought that I'm not educated. I'm just I'm tiresomely lazy. So I'm my own worst enemy.
But yeah. Anyway, so I was reading Doctor Strange comic books, and like in the comic books, he's got to eat all this alien crap to like keep his magic up.
Really?
Like they talk about how like. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
You basically have to like, you have to pay the price. If you use magic, you've got to like. Make a sacrifice.
No,
so he got to the point where he couldn't eat regular food anymore, just turned to ash in his mouth. So, like, they'd show these things with tentacles and stuff that, like, Wong had to cook for. Like, Wong was basically his manservant. And they cooked for him, made all this, like, crazy, like, stuff. Like, the fridge was one of the most dangerous things in his mansion.
That's insane. That's
but, like, it's crazy how, like, all these differences with the comics. Like, I know Iron Man was a raving alcoholic.
Yes, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But they didn't mention any of that.
I believe he's a chauvinist and an alcoholic.
Yeah, but he doesn't go on alcoholic benders. He just, like, parties all the time.
Yeah, nice.
But you don't see him, like, he acted at some point in the comic books, they had to make him a new body. Like, I don't know why, because I didn't get that kind of helps yet. But I remember when I first started reading it, he just got the new body, like, when I started reading as a kid. Oh, what would happen? But I was buying all those comics, but now I can read all those now.
This might be a game changer for our podcast. Like, if I sign up for this, this could really be dangerous to the whole gearing, and we might, all of our episodes might become drastically about comic books here very shortly.
I feel like
why did you start with Doctor Strange? Or did you start with Doctor Strange?
So, I started with Iron Man, and I also downloaded Doctor Strange. And I started reading Doctor Strange, and I'm like, this is actually pretty cool.
I was never a Iron Man and Doctor Strange were the two comic books I've said.
Because you're looking at other suit, I once felt like Spider-Man was a whiny little bitch.
I love Spider-Man. And I like Spider-Man because he's a whiny
little bitch.
That is my favorite thing about him.
That's why he was made.
Right.
His whole life was upside down continually.
And he's meant to be a relatable character.
He's not relatable.
He is relatable. He's got real life problems.
My parents are still alive. I'm not living on that.
Aunt May.
And he does do that. But that's where. Just
if I ever wanted to really fuck him up, I take Aunt May, put her in one building full of explosives. And I go across town, put Mary Jane in another building full of explosives, and build an exact middle and make him pick.
That's exactly why Spider-Man is such an amazing character, is because he runs into problems like that. Like, he can't always save the day.
See, he would figure out how to make it work.
See, that's what makes him figure it. I already figured you try to do this, so that's not going to happen.
How do you save this? How do you save Mary Jane, or how do you save this cable car, fallen cable car full of children?
And that's why they put
But I'm going to figure out it's going to work.
But that's what I like about Spider-Man, is he's faced with those dilemmas. And it's like you say about the whole Iron Man who figure out a way to resolve this problem before it even became a problem. That I don't like about Iron Man. I don't like, because me myself, if I were bit by a radioactive spider, it's exactly my point. Yes, the rest of society is every bit as stupid, or at least parallel with where I am, where you would not anticipate some obscure problem like that and have a backup.
And folks, with that, all I have to say is.
Is it time? You son of a bitch.
I love that.
You hate whenever I'm right about anything.
No, it's 28 minutes, and Andy is
going to get one. All right. Hey, thanks for joining us, everybody. Join us next time. We'll probably talk about a whole bunch of comic books, hopefully, if I sign up for this Marvel Unlimited. Thanks again, Andy, for joining us here on the show. We will see everybody next week here on Stream of Consciousness. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and StreamofConsciousness.com. Our podcast, StreamofConsciousnessPodcast.com. And I think that's that, everything. Are you okay over there? You going to be all right? You got me worried. All right. Night, everybody. Disco.
Disco.
Did you want to do disco? I'm sorry.